It's part of the Surrey Wildlife Trust, located in South Merstham and right on our doorstep. I'm talking about Holmthorpe Sandpits, currently home to over 200 species of birds. With summer just around the corner, it's a time when we all like to get out and about and maybe see some new things and experience nature in all its glory. And if you've always fancied trying to spot some birds on our local patch but aren't sure what to look for and where to look, more importantly, I might just be able to help you out. Here in the Susie studio is local bird and Neil, to give us a few tips on what to look out for. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Annie. Nice to be here.
Holmthorpe Sandpits, or it's actually called Holmthorpe Lagoons Nature Reserve, apparently. That's its official name. I don't know if you knew that. It's part of Surrey Wildlife Trust's restoration project. Just give us a little picture of the territory we're talking about here, Neil.
Well, it's quite a large area, actually. It sort of covers probably about 2.5 to 3 square miles. If you sort of start off in sort of the watercolour development area just down the road, there's two lagoons there, the two watercolour lagoons, which is where you could probably start off your sort of journey around the what we call the patch. And if you walk sort of south along the railway line, you'll come to an area called the Moors, which is another sort of a wetland sort of scrub area, which where we get quite a few birds. And I'll obviously talk about what sort of things to look out for in those areas as we go along. But then if you walk east and you head towards the Inn on the Pond, which is on Nutfield Marsh, you can walk across that area up onto Nutfield Ridge, which is the hill up on Nutfield Road, and then across further heading north. Obviously you'll be walking a fair old way by now, but you'll come to Mercer's Farm, which is arable land, and obviously the different species there. Then you carry on, head up north to two other lakes, which are Spines Mere and Mercer's West, which were cut out of the quarry when that was finished. And then when you're heading back towards Watercolour Lagoons, you come to Mercer's Lake, which is the sailing club, and then back to the Watercolour Lagoons itself, which so that covers quite a long area way. It's probably, like I say, probably a 5 mile walk if you wanted to do the whole lot in a day. Obviously I don't expect people would want to do that, but it means you can cover different areas and see lots of different things.
So give us a bit of a picture then of the sort of birds that we could see round the watercolour lagoons.
Well, in the lagoons area, it's actually very good for seeing house martins and sand martins. They're birds are always on in the air. The house martins actually breed in the watercolour area. If you go to the Tesco's extra supermarket, you'll find that there's quite a lot of them breed under the rafters of the apartments there. Also, the sand martins, they breed locally, and they often feed in the area, as do you'll get quite a lot of swallows and swifts for this time of year, because obviously with all these birds, they're all migratory, so they all winter in the African subcontinent, and then they come here in the spring, early spring, to breed in the area, and then fly back again once they've successfully bred and fledged their young, back in sort of July, August, sort of September time.
Are they breeding grounds that are specific here, or do they just sort of happen across these areas like the lagoons?
Well, it's the same with any birds. Most birds will go back to where they bred the year before. It's because they know the area. So it does. I mean, the swallows and swifts and sand martins and house martins will breed all over the country if the habitat is right. But if you have, a swift breeding, nesting in the rafters of your house, then often that same bird will come back year after year to breed. So, which is quite remarkable, because they obviously have to travel a fair old way from, particularly the swifts, which will come from southern Africa all the way up here. So it's quite a remarkable journey.
So say you think you might have something lurking in the rafters. How do you look for it? What do you look for?
Well, obviously with things like swifts, they're fairly straightforward, because they constantly fly in and out of the area where they're nesting to feed their young. So you'll see them, particularly in the coming weeks. They'll be flying constantly all day around the area. You hear them shrieking as well. They make this sort of shrill sound as they fly around in groups, and you can't really sort of miss them, really. People sort of sometimes mistake them for swallows, but a swift is bigger and has swept back wings and has less, it has a faster wing beat, and they as they as their name suggests, they're very, very quick on the wing. So that's why they get their name, probably. But obviously in other areas, once you're at the lagoons, there's reed beds there. You'll often hear a chattery song in the reeds, and that will be a reed warbler, which is another migratory bird that comes and breeds here in the spring and summer. And you can actually see them, because they're very secretive, though, because you can hear them rather than see them often. But if you walk along the causeway at Watercolour Lagoons and stand there patiently, you may see one as it sings climbing up the reeds. And so that's quite a nice bird to see. Obviously, there are quite a few. You occasionally get the odd wader, which is obviously a bird that you'll see more on the coast. On the Watercolour Lagoon, it's called Watercolour Lagoon 2, there's a little island which appears in the spring and summer months when the water level sinks down, and you'll occasionally get the odd wader appearing on there. There's a couple who try to breed every year, but unfortunately not very successfully, and they're called little ring plovers, and you can't really sort of mistake them, really. They have a little black sort of mask around their heads, and they're quite small, and they are often, you'll see them on the edge of the water.
And you say that they don't breed very successfully. So what's gone wrong?
Well, the problem is, because it's a very small little island, it's shared between these little ring plovers, a few ducks, a few geese, the odd herring gull will come, or black-headed gull will come down and pop down on there. So if there's, and it's only just a basic little island, it's very small. And unfortunately for these birds, it's going to be very hard for them to protect their eggs. I mean, obviously they get predated quite often, so they don't tend to be able to, they haven't been successful in the last few years that they've tried. So they keep having a go, but it doesn't seem to happen for them.
Is that a nice way of saying that other birds will nick the eggs?
Yes, they will. Okay. Yeah, exactly. In effect, yeah, absolutely right. So that's why they don't seem to be able to manage that.
You spoke about Mercer's Farm. That's actually situated east of Mercer's Lake, and it's actually been home to quite a few lapwings during the winter. Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't. Yeah, we do get lapwings in the winter, quite a few, but we often had them in the past, many, many years ago, breeding in the area. We've had sort of many hundreds of lapwings rather than the tens that we get nowadays. And unfortunately, they don't breed on the land anymore, because they just don't have the privacy, if you like. It's just the habitat isn't really suitable for them now, and so they, even though they sometimes display in the areas though they're going to want to breed, they don't actually doesn't actually happen, unfortunately. But it's a fascinating area, the Mercer's Farm region, because you get obviously yellowhammers and one or two other types of birds there. There's a little owl often you'll see up in the oak trees just south of Spinesmere, which is on Mercer's Farm. You'll get the odd peregrine falcon flying through trying to hunt, which will be hunting for prey, obviously, and kestrels and all sorts of manner of birds of prey often are seen through that region.
And you were talking earlier on about the warblers, weren't you? Yeah. And just describe, because they're quite a popular thing for people to look for. It's got a kind of chattery song. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's the reed warbler. There are umpteen number of different species of warbler. Some prefer reed, some prefer woodland, some prefer... there's all sorts of different habitats that they enjoy. We get quite a number, actually, in the Holmthorpe area. We'll get, like I say, apart from the reed warblers, we'll have black caps and white throats, which are very common. Garden warblers is another type of bird. A lot of these birds, the only way you're going to sort of recognise them, is basically you need to have a pair of binoculars. It's always, it's nice to be able to walk around and just see stuff, but if you really want to have a closer look, then obviously a pair of binoculars is going to be the best bet, particularly with some of these birds. Once you see something singing up in a tree, it's really difficult to see it unless you can sort of focus on it. But the thing is, things like white throats, a lot of birds, their names are sort of described by what they actually look like. So the white throat has a white throat, and a black cap has a black head. And it's sort of, it does what it says on the tin. A lot of the names are sort of based on those sort of things. So if you see a bird sort of, again, making a very chattery song up in a top of a tree, and it's got a white throat, that would be a white throat.
For someone like me, that's quite helpful, actually. Yeah. And that's the thing, actually, if listeners are out there, because I think it's that time of year, isn't it, when we sort of all fancy going out for a little bit of a walk, but we don't really know what to look for. And as you say, you need binoculars.
Yeah,
but on the patch, you do sort of help each other and give each other tip-offs on what everyone's been seeing. How, if a listener's interested in knowing what's happening on a day-to-day basis, what to come and look for, how would they actually go about doing that?
Well, the best thing to do is go to our... we've got like a blog site. It's called homethought.blogspot.com. Bit of a mouthful. I put all the sightings up on there for each month. I try to keep up to date as much as I can. You'll see every day there'll be sightings listed on there, what was being seen on that particular day. We can often... If you have a long walk around, some of our local birders, people like Ray Baker and Gordon Hay, who are sort of resident sort of birders, if you like, they often can see up to 70 different species just on in a morning. They have to work hard to find them because you have to know where to look, what to listen out for, it's experience that gains you that sort of number of birds to see, really.
And is it better to go out very early in the morning to spot something?
Yes, it is, absolutely. Earlier the better, when the sun is literally coming up. Obviously in the summer, that means you're going to have to get up really early. You can be out there sort of at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is not everybody's cup of tea, I can imagine. But you're more likely to see birds because a lot of birds will travel through the night. When they migrate, they'll migrate at night because that way they can avoid being attacked by predators. That's the main aim for them. So one or two of them will turn up somewhere on any given plot of land to rest during the morning before they fly on again in the afternoon, possibly.
What about weather patterns? So say, for example, for example, today it's been raining quite a lot, it's quite humid. Does that affect what sort of birds you'd be expecting to see?
Yeah, well, obviously, time of year, birds migrate at specific times of year. Different species will migrate, like chiffchaffs and blackcaps will be in sort of early March. Whereas the things like the spotted flycatcher, which there was one on the Moors area yesterday, though I don't know if it's there now, will migrate in sort of May. So they all have their own sort of time frames. But like you say about the weather does distinctly have an effect. If there's a big storm, like today, we've got really stormy weather coming through. If birds are on the move and there's a storm flying through, they'll drop down somewhere to shelter before they move on. So particularly waders will do that. So if you're out and about soon after a storm has been over the area, then it's a good time to go out just to see if anything is around. A couple of years ago we had it wasn't stormy weather, but it was the weather closed in, and we had apart from a flock of swallows and martins flying around in the lagoons area, we also had a rare swallow called a red rump swallow, which joined the swallows feeding in the area, which was a fantastic sighting. It's the first we've ever had in the area, and you don't see them often because they tend to be sort of based in on the continent. You'll see them in the Mediterranean, Spain. If you're on holiday, you'll often see red rump swallows with the swallows, but we don't get them here very often. So that was a nice find. And as was 2 years ago in March, we had a couple of bearded tits, which are not actually from the titmouse family at all. They're actually a different type of breed, but they're a fantastic looking bird, and they just appeared. We didn't actually find them ourselves. It was a local happened to ask a birder what these particularly pretty coloured birds were, and it was these bearded tits, which were the first of that species that we've had since 1972, apparently. And they were a pair, male and female, and the male was feeding the female, and it looked like they may actually stay for the whole of the summer, but unfortunately Storm Katie came crashing through and smashed down all the reeds, and they unfortunately flew off. But it's still... any time, any given day, you can see something extraordinary. You just have to be in the right place at the right time.
So let's think about the here and now then. You said about after a storm there could be waders. You've mentioned spotted flycatcher. Was it yesterday that was seen? So do you know what's been spotted around today?
Don't at the moment. Often some of the guys will probably still be out there birding, and they won't come back to send their reports in until around lunchtime. But if the spotted flycatcher is still around, it's actually in Spines Mere area, I think, then that would be something interesting to look at. And always look out for other things. If look upwards as well, because we get birds, you know, birds of prey flying over. We get red kite occasionally coming in. Or one of the terns, something like a common tern we've had recently. If we had an Arctic tern, which is one of those that has been seen in the past, that's always an interesting bird to see, because of all species of animal in the world, it is the animal that migrates the furthest. It winters in the Antarctic and it breeds in the Arctic area, and it does breed in northern Britain as well, in northern Scotland, but it can travel on any given year up to 56,000 miles. It's quite an extraordinary bird for doing that, so that's something to look out for. We've had one here before, so that's quite remarkable really.
Thank you so much for sacrificing your bird watching this morning. I think you probably didn't mind too much given the weather experiencing. And thanks for giving us a little snapshot really into the various birds we can see. Just give us a heads up again about your blog spot for listeners if they want to just have a quick look to see what to try and find.
Well, if you can Google Homethorpe sandpits and it will come up probably straight away, or just homethorpe.blogspot.com.
Thanks very much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
That was Neil, a local birder. And if you want to get out there and take a look at birds right on our doorstep, take yourself off to Holmthorpe Sandpits. And I've heard also that parking is best at Mercer's Country Park Lake, where there's a public car park. But beware, it's actually only open at selected times. Otherwise, you need to park in the residential roads north of the pits. Well, Neil's still with me. And we chose a song, didn't we? We thought we'd be fitting for the interview. Here it is. It's the House Martins.